All right, so what we've been talking about lately in Firehouse, don't say Jesus, God, or the Holy Spirit because those are obvious. But what have we been talking about? What's the series we've been talking about? Grace. People are blowing up my phone. Some of you guys got that reference. I probably shouldn't reference that Firehouse. It was back in the day when I was sinful. Just kidding. We've been talking about what? Somebody said it.
Grace.
Thank you, Manny. Some of you guys just need to be as loud as Manny. It's a benefit sometimes. Ayo. Oh, yeah, I was supposed to get back at you. Because last time you taught, you said something really sarcastic. I completely forgot. I have to come up with something between now and then. Anyways, we talked about grace. What are some things we talked about specifically, getting down to the nitty-gritty? What are some things that we for sure talked about? Some topics about grace? Anything? Speaking of me and me, oh, sorry, go ahead.
We don't deserve it.
We don't deserve it. It's a free gift we don't deserve. It was a beautiful exchange that was completely unfair for God and completely awesome for us. We got all the benefit. He got all the crap, but he did anyways. Okay? Oops. Anything else? Sorry. I'm an open book. You guys know me. Me and Manny were talking earlier, and sometimes these people annoy me like in a good way annoy me, not bad way. Like the Beth Moores of the world where like you can hear something and like you can just recite the whole sermon right back, like ba 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 ba, like what did Titus preach on Sunday? Ba 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 ba. What did Rob preach on Wednesday? Ba 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 ba, and then you just like get it all and I'm just like sorting through my mental notes and I'm drawing blanks. So we were talking about like what did we talk about last week specifically? And we started going through the— are any of you guys like that? Is it just me? Like you can't remember a sermon like just right there, so you got to like go back through your notes. It's another reason why it's a great way to take notes. 10 of you raised your hand, so probably 20 of you were lying because I can't be the only one stupid here. No, not like— I'm not calling you stupid. I'm calling myself stupid. One thing that really stuck out to me last week was Hebrews 10:24, and we talked about stirring each other up for good works. And I'm going to hit on that later tonight. Don't let me forget it. But this new series we're going into is on repentance, repenting before God. And talked with Rob. It's what he feels like we're going to talk about. And we talked about it in our C group last week. So when he told me, I was really excited because it was just kind of this sweet transition, that the Holy Spirit's doing. So I'm glad that I'm here. I have the opportunity to kick it off with you guys. Anyways, let's open your Bibles. That's most important. I'll shut up. Open your Bibles. Well, I won't shut up. I can't. But open your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you have your phones or your Bibles or your iPads or whatever. While you're doing that, I'm going to talk a little bit about repentance before I start reading it. But grace is a gift, right? You guys know what grace is. Somebody give me just a good Sunday school version of what grace is. Huh? Not getting what you deserve? Okay. Brandy, what did you say earlier? You had a good definition too. You don't remember? Hey, you're just like me. Grace is a gift we don't deserve. We talked about grace, these things that we don't deserve. And we actually don't also deserve repentance. If you think about it, repentance is a gift that we have. We get to stand before a completely holy and righteous judge, and he lets us repent for our sins before him. And through studying that past couple days, especially today, that's just something that really stuck out to me, because God is letting us repent before him. He's the one allowing us, giving us the opportunity to do that. So it's grace in and of itself. Repentance is a part of the grace process. So I'm really excited just how the two series are going together. What do you guys think repentance is? Give me a good Sunday school explanation. I know normally people say don't give me Sunday school answers, but what is repentance?
Turning from what you were doing.
I can do that because she's my sister. No one else. I can do that too because that'd be weird.
Responding to God's conviction.
Yeah. turning from what you're doing, responding to God's conviction in your life. Okay, so these are all good answers. I enjoyed them. I like them. A lot of times when we think of repentance, we think of asking for forgiveness. We think that asking for forgiveness is repenting. But repenting has a little bit more of that process. I believe that's the first step, is asking for forgiveness. But the second step is there has to be some sort of change. Repentance is a two-part process. It's not just asking for forgiveness, but there has to be some change. And obviously, we're sinful and we can't change on our own. So God has to do the work in us to make that change. So I want you guys thinking about all this stuff as we're reading it. And I'm going to run out of breath really fast because there's like 18 verses and I hate reading, but I'm going to do it anyways because it's God's word. So I'll stop walking around. That'll probably conserve some breath. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found in our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet as well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished and not yet killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You're not restricted by us, but you're restricted by your own affections. In return, I speak to you as children. Widen your hearts also. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial, or however you say it, it's Satan? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling place among them and will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out in their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Almighty Lord. Whew, that was a mouthful. Sorry, let me get a little water. Middle school was a little easier because, you know, I just did that like 15 minutes ago. Second time around is a doozy. There's a few verses I want to hit on because obviously I'm already long-winded. Like I'm out of breath and I talk a lot because I'm an idiot. So I want to emphasize on a few key verses. If you're taking notes, I want to emphasize on verse 1. Verse 12, which is in the middle of 10, 11, 12, and 13, I'm going to hit on those. Sorry. I told you I'm dumb. And 14b, I'm going to hit on those tonight. Again, 1, 12, and 14b. What are you laughing at, Jess? You know I'm dumb. Come on now. Okay, so verse 1. Working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Okay, just like I was talking to middle schoolers, you guys are a little smarter than middle schoolers, I hope, except for maybe a few of you, and I'm not going to mention your names. But sometimes when you're reading something, when you're doing a Bible study, maybe you're going through like a book and it's like telling you where to read, or maybe you do one of these things where you like open it and you flip, and then do that number. It's okay. It works. It's happened for me. But sometimes we read things and we have trouble grasping the whole context. So verse 1 says, working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now, one thing about the ESV that I'm not the biggest fan of, you know, it doesn't matter what I care about, but they didn't capitalize the hymn. So, you know, NIV usually capitalizes hymn, at least the 1984 or 2001, whatever version. So if you had one of those Bibles and you saw the capital hymn, you'd know that we're talking about God, but maybe you're a little confused. So let's jump back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ Jesus, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. That hymn that we're talking about, if we flip back to verse 1, working together with him, then we appeal, do not receive the grace of God in vain. That hymn is referring to Christ, the work that Christ has done in us. If we're truly grasping who Christ is, we can't receive his grace in vain. If we truly get who God is, if God's truly working in our life and his grace is really working on our hearts and our souls, there's no way that repentance doesn't happen. Grace pushes us into repentance, because if we truly grasp who God is, it forces us to repentance. And we're going to talk a lot about it tonight and for the next couple of weeks. Guys, if you aren't repenting before God, there's probably a problem. I know you don't want to come in and have someone say, oh, you're doing something wrong. Guys, I'm not perfect. You guys know that. Of any people up here, you probably picked the worst person to be up here. So I get it. I understand it. But if there's not repentance happening in your life and you're saying that you're with Christ, there could be a problem, because I'm pretty sure none of you guys in here are perfect. I know I'm pretty close. Just kidding. But no one in here is perfect. So this repentance process has to happen. It absolutely has to happen. We're going to talk more about that tonight. Again, if we really understand his grace, like we talked about the past 2 months, that grace is going to push us into repentance. There's no other place that we could go. You can't exclude repentance and grace. They're mutual. They're not exclusive. They go hand in hand. Luke 24:47 says this, that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Repentance has to have an action. It's not just a word. So we talked about it's two-part. It's not just asking for forgiveness. There has to be an action followed up. And we'll talk more about that later. I don't want to stay on that topic. But just talking a little bit about repentance, who am I going to use as my example? Pierce. If me and Pierce were best friends, which we are, so this is a true story so far. If Pierce slapped me in the face, which actually you have done that, you and Levi are both the only like young adult males that have ever like slapped me in the face for no reason, I think. It must be something you guys, it must be like a sign of affection or something. But say he did this on a regular basis to me, okay? Say I'm like, hey man, what's up? You know, do the whole cool thing. And he just slaps me in the face. And I come back the next day, hey man, what's up? Slaps me in the face. Come back the next day, hey, what's up? Slaps me in the face. And I'm like, dude, stop. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And then 2 minutes later, he slaps me in the face. That's not being repentant about what you're doing. He can ask for forgiveness all he wants. Matt, I'm so sorry. I promise I won't do it again. But if his actions don't match his words, it's not real. It's not the real deal. Okay, I'm gonna skip that. I told a really dumb story last time, so maybe I'll save it for later or not tell it at all. But reiterating that verse I just read, that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in all the nations, starting in Jerusalem. baseball. Nice. Thanks for putting your autograph. I was really, really hoping it was on there. Where's Jerusalem? Give me some. I'm asking for Sunday school answers. I don't know why I'm doing this. Where's Jerusalem? Okay, why was Jerusalem significant back in the day? Jesus. No, that's a bad Sunday school answer. Give me a. What was significant about Jerusalem? City of David. It was kind of like the capital of God. We'll just pretend it is. He's talking to these guys, but basically what he's saying is your hometown. You guys know the Great Commission, right? Can somebody rattle it off real fast? Disciples of all nations, and blah, 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 blah. And then Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. Well, it was, you know, really concise, so I figured I'd reiterate it for those that don't understand gibberish. But Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, it's a progression. Jerusalem was the closest place to them at the time that that was said, obviously, because they were really close to Jerusalem. Judea, Samaria is a bigger area to all the world, obviously a way bigger area. So let's pretend our Jerusalem is Merritt Island. I know some of us live in Cocoa, whoop whoop, and Rockledge, and Titusville, and Vieira, and Cape Canaveral, all these, you know, I don't really care where you live, just to be honest. But I don't. It'd be weird if I did. But let's pretend that our Jerusalem is Merritt Island. Guys, we want to see a revival in Merritt Island. As adult leaders here, the firehouse staff, they want to see it. We want to see it. We want to see a revival in Merritt Island. And it's going to start in our Jerusalem. That's where it's going to have to start. It has to start here. We can go on as many mission trips as we want. We can do, you know, all these great things. But if the revival doesn't start here in our own hometown, we're missing something. There's countless verses in the Bible. You can disagree with me. That's fine. I don't care. It's just where I feel God is calling me to say it. Countless verses that support the idea that the revival has to start here and go out. And we want to see revival in Merritt Island. Let me jump down to verse 11. We have spoken free, and we're in chapter 6 because I know I'm jumping around to 5 and Luke and all this stuff. But we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our hearts are wide open. You are not restricted by us. You're restricted by your own affections. In return, widen your hearts also. That's a little confusing, so dumb it down, put it in layman's terms, whatever. Did we lose the screens? Oh, sorry. I know sometimes they like go out, so I was just trying to be helpful, but then I just distracted. We've spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Let's pretend you guys, as the firehouse students, are the Corinthians that we're speaking to. We've spoken freely to you. These leaders here at Firehouse don't come to just be here. You know, some of you guys are pretty cool. Most of you aren't. But I'm just kidding. We love you guys. Seriously, we love you guys. We care about you. We don't just come here to show up and play nine square and boggy. Like, yeah, that's fun, but just being honest, there's probably better things that some of these adults could be doing on Wednesday nights than be here. We're here because we care. We really love you guys. I know it's cheesy and it's goofy, whatever, but we care about you. I would not be here standing in front of you if I didn't love you. I love having the opportunity to speak to you guys, but it is a responsibility. It's not just something that happens overnight. There's some study that goes into it. Reading different passages, reading different commentaries, trying to put all these notes together that I feel God's calling me to say to you guys. It's a little bit of a homework assignment. It's not the easiest thing in the world. So I'm not saying it's a burden to me, but it's something that I have to put time into. These leaders, they have to get in their cars and have to drive here. They have to sit in their C groups with you guys. It's not just this thing where we're just here. We're here because we care. We're putting in an effort because we care about you guys. And my biggest fear is talking about the Corinthians. You guys, we've opened our hearts wide to you guys, wide open. We've had some awesome conversations. I've talked with a lot of you guys one-on-one, had bro moments, all this stuff. Open my hearts up to you guys. And I know the other leaders are doing the same. I've watched Rob cry over you guys. I know that sounds like, oh, but I've watched, you know, 30-something-year-old grown men cry over you guys. I've watched other leaders cry over you guys. It's not because they're sissies. It's because they care about you guys. So we've opened up our hearts wide to you guys. But verse 12 is the warning. We're not the ones restricting you. We're not restricting you guys. Some of you, I'm afraid, in a room this size, some of you have turned to your own affections. Affections are things that you love, that you care about. Affections are good things. I'm affectionate about Jess. That's a good thing. I'm affectionate more so about Christ. That's a better thing. Affections are good things. The problem is our sin nature taints the things that we show affection to. So we start showing affection to things of the world instead of Christ. And my fear for some of you guys is that you've put your affections on things other than Christ. That it's not the leaders holding you back. It's not the other students holding you back. It's that you've put your affection somewhere other than Christ. For those of you guys that don't have a relationship with Christ, I pray that you do someday. You're in a little bit of a different boat than the ones, those of you that are claiming Christ. When you're putting your affection somewhere else, you're making yourself useless for the gospel. I know that's harsh, like, wow, did he just say that? You're making yourself unavailable for God to do work. You're quenching the Holy Spirit inside of you when you choose to love your affections instead of choosing to love the affection of Christ. I know that's like a hard thing to just drop elbows like that, but it's true. I'm worried about it. Guys, I'm not that much older than you. I know, you know, I look really mature, but I'm not that much older than you guys. Really, I'm not. I just found a cougar, so it's just surprising that I got married, but it's just because I found a cougar. But I really shouldn't be married because I'm really not that much older than you guys. I'm just being funny. But bring it back to serious moment. I went to Meridian Christian School. You know, you're in a better environment there. A lot of my friends were Christians. And there's people that I was best friends with in high school that I love. I still love to this day. But they want absolutely nothing to do with Christ. In middle school, high school, they were claiming the name of God. Now they want absolutely nothing to do with God because their affections were placed on something other than God. They put their affections in something the world could offer them and something God could not offer them, and they walked away from the faith. It's real. It's a real deal. I'm looking at a group of 50 of you. Let's just ballpark it. Hebrew National it, whatever. Ballpark is a brand of hot dogs, if you guys don't know that. Just making sure. But, you know, in a room of 50 people, there's a good chance some of you guys could walk away from the gospel. There's a good chance. My prayer, the adult leaders here, our prayer is that that doesn't happen. But if you put your affections in something other than Christ, for those of you that are claiming Christ now, you put your affections in something other than Christ, there's a good chance that you could walk away from Him, because He's not where your focus is at. We want to see revival, guys. We really do. I talked about the Jerusalem thing. A revival is not going to happen when our affections are on someone other than Christ. And I'm not saying that things are bad. Please don't think I'm this legalistic person up here with a bullwhip, like trying to whip everything out of your life. It's where your focus is, guys. Are you focused on Christ? Is He number one? You can say it, but is He actually? Are your actions matching your words? Is Christ truly number one in your life? If not, some repentance needs to happen, and He's the one that leads you to it. You can't repent on your own. Guys, I'm a prime example of someone that's, you know, fallen into sin. I'm not perfect. I can't make myself want to stop sinning. You cannot make yourself want to stop doing what you're doing or whatever it might be. You can't force yourself to stop sinning. The Holy Spirit has to do that. What you have to do is you have to put your affection on Him. You cannot make yourself repent. You can't. It's impossible. You cannot force yourself to repent. God has to put that desire in you. But when you're quenching the Spirit, it's really hard to repent. When you're putting your affection on someone or something else, it's hard to love Christ and repent. that last part, verse 13, it says, in return, so we've spoken freely to you and opened our hearts to you. The second part, our fear is that your affections have carried you away from the gospel. Third part is, in return, open your hearts to us. It says that right there. You guys are the Corinthians. I'm Paul. That would never happen. But hypothetically speaking, open your hearts to us, guys. I told you, I've watched grown men cry over students. I've watched leaders pray together and just bawl over students. It's not because we like crying. Who likes crying besides girls? That was funny. That was funny. I'm cracking a lot more jokes than I was last time. It either means the Holy Spirit's funny or I'm not listening. So I should listen if I'm not. But I've watched these people that care so much about you open, pour their hearts out to you guys. Give us some back in return. Open up to us. We've been opening up to you guys. We care about you. We spend time in C groups with you. We take you to meals and hang out and eat at Steak and Shake with you and whatever. Whatever the case might be, open up to us. Open up to us. And more so, open up to each other. I was talking about this in middle school. It made them giggle. But girls, that's what Phil says. Girls just, so girls, you might not have this problem about opening up to each other. Maybe you open up about the wrong things, but girls usually open book, except for the really shy ones that don't talk. Guys are like this. Hey, man. Hey. How's your walk with God? Good. Good. And it's funny because it actually happens, but it's not funny at the same time. Guys, you need to be accountable to each other. If you are claiming Christ, He did not give you the body of people around you for nothing. There's not 50 or however many of you in here for nothing. We don't meet together in church for nothing. There's a reason you have a body around you. It's to lift you up. It's to lift each other up. I talked about that verse in Hebrews 10 that Rob talked about that I really like. Stirring each other up for good works. Hold each other accountable. Talk to each other. If there's something going on, say, hey man, I've got this going on. I need to repent, but I don't care. Or I need to repent and I do care. Pray with me. Guys, open up to each other, especially dudes, because you think you're tough. You're not. Open up to each other. Girls, open up about the right things because you're always opening up. But seriously, open up about the right things. Make sure I'm staying on track. More so than opening up to any of the adult leaders or opening up to each other, open your heart to Christ. Especially those of you that may not know who He is, that may not have a relationship with Him. Open your heart up to Him. It'll be the best decision you've ever made in your life. You can open up your heart to me. You can open up your heart to your neighbor next to you. But if you're not talking to Christ about it, you're wasting your time. He's the one that's going to make the change in your life. Repentance is an important thing, guys. And we can repent before each other and ask for prayer, but you got to do it before God. You got to open up to Christ. Here's the deal. He's already paid for it. Sometimes we think, well, Matt, there's things that you don't know about me. There's things in my past that you can't forgive, that God couldn't forgive. There's things I've done to people or people have done to me or whatever that just God is not accepting of. There's no way He could love me. You're wrong. You're wrong. He has already paid for it. It's already been paid for. I love going to a store and picking something up when it's already been paid for. Because the worst thing is like when you have to stand at the counter, pull out your wallet, da 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 da. When it's already been paid for, you just sign it and take it out. I picked up some blocks for Caleb the other day because he's building this like fire pit thing, and then he gave me some others. And I just waltzed in there, said, hey, give me the stuff. Drove up in there. I pulled out a forklift. Like, it was already paid for. I had absolutely nothing I had to do but show up. God is the same way with you guys. He's paid for anything and everything that you could imagine in your life that you think is holding you back from Him. He's paid for it. It's done. It's complete. It's finished. It's finite. It's over. It's been paid for. There's nothing that He can't forgive about you. So if you think, well, Matt, I'd love to repent, but there's just something that It's too bad. It's not real. That doesn't exist to God. Maybe to me it will. If Pierce kept slapping me in the face and kept saying, I'm sorry, and just kept doing it, I'd probably get ticked, just being honest. I'd probably put you in a full Nelson. God doesn't react to us that way. But here's something important with that, especially for those of us that are claiming Christ. I did say that repentance is a two-part process. There does have to be some eventual change. What I'm not saying is, if you're struggling with sin and you go before God in sincerity and say, God, please take this from me. Please take this cup from me. Give me the power to fight this from you. And you fall into that sin again, that doesn't mean it's over. That's not what that's saying. But if that process happens millions and millions of times, you're probably not sincere about what you're repenting about. Does that make sense? There does have to be a change in your heart. You have to do your part in repenting. There has to be that change. Again, it's nothing of your own power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, giving you the power to change. But if you are they playing Marco Polo out there? I thought he said Marco. But if you sincerely want to change, but you're struggling in sin, it's not like, oh, well, I said sorry, God, and it didn't change, so now it's over. That's not true either. He's always waiting with open arms. I did this last time. I was like, he's waiting with open arms. And I looked down, I had sweat pits. I got sweat pits, see? So I was like, then I did it like this. And then I said, God doesn't have sweat pits because sweat pits are a result of sin. Yes. Right? What? Voice crack. I also talked about how voice cracks are a result of sin. He does want fruit-producing branches, though, guys. The end goal is not for it to stop at repentance. He wants fruit being produced. He's going to cut the things that aren't producing fruit. Do you guys drive around North Merritt Island at all? A lot of those orange groves, Jordan has been doing donuts in them. I was going to make a Steve-O joke, but I decided not to. You drive by these orange groves, and you see a lot of them just been completely mowed down. It's because they're not producing fruit. The trees are practically useless to the orange grove owners when they're not producing fruit. God deals with us the same way, guys. He's gonna cut the crap. I said that last time. I was like, I shouldn't say that, but then I said it. So I already said it once, so I might as well say it again. So he's gonna cut the junk out of our lives that's not producing fruit. We have to have a desire for that too, though. We have to want him to cut the garbage out. We have to come to God and say, God, I recognize some things in my life that are not healthy. I want you to cut the garbage out. And he has to do that in us. Verse 14, sorry I'm long-winded, but it's just, boom. What fellowship has light with darkness? What accord does Christ have with Belial or Belial or blah, 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 whatever it is? Belial is just another name for Satan. They use it a lot in the book of Judges. And it called, in the book of Judges, it called the followers of Belial worthless men. Followers of Satan are worthless men. Again, worthless men. I got to make sure that I'm on the... Yep. Here's another verse that talks about the same thing. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake at the table of the Lord and the table of demons. I almost said you cannot parkour at the table of the Lord. I don't know if that's possible. It's probably a really big table. You cannot partake at the table of the Lord and the table of demons. And in middle school, it was like really quiet because I didn't make a stupid joke. So they're like, demons? Yeah. You can't be at the table of God and the table of demons. I know we don't use that word a lot because we're scared of it and all these other things. But you can't be at God's table and at Satan's table at the same time. You can't have your foot in one door and your foot in the other. Light and darkness are two different things. They're completely different. Light illuminates the darkness, but they're completely different. You guys know the term black and white. they're polar opposites. We use terminology just like this to present these opposing ideas. And Christ and Satan are completely opposing ideas. And for those of us that are saying that we are in Christ, that are claiming His name in front of people, in front of the world, and we're taking part in the darkness, we're sitting at the table of Satan, we're not only being bad representation of the gospel, bad representation of God, but we're living in complete disobedience. And we're quenching the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit cannot work when we're quenching Him, when we're living in sin. I said this in middle school, and normally I kind of like tell Jess what I'm doing. Like, actually, that's not true. She always yells at me because I like tell somebody something. I thought I told her, but I actually told somebody else, which is probably a really bad thing. And I need to go to marriage counseling by myself, not you. You're perfect. But I told her right before she came up. She has this phrase that I really like. She says, "You're riding two horses with one butt." I know it's funny. I said butt in church, and the middle schoolers giggled a little bit more than you guys did. But can't ride two horses with one butt. It's funny. But think about it. Two horses, even if they were going in the same direction, that'd be a very difficult task. Imagining lightness and darkness, black and white, good and bad, evil and good. Quiet down, guys. Imagine them going in polar opposite directions. You can't ride two horses with one butt. I know that's funny, but it's real deal. It happens. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in my friend's life. I've seen it in some of y'all's lives. You cannot ride two horses with one butt. It's impossible. It's a physical incapability. I almost made another joke, but it'd probably be inappropriate. But not like bad, but just like shouldn't say it. So I'm not going to. You cannot be in Christ and in sin at the same time. And again, guys, I don't want to get this message across of this legalism and the bullwhip and everything, but we do need to have some change in our lives. There does need to be real, true repentance in our lives. We are quenching the Spirit when we're choosing to constantly live in sin. I'm saying this about my own lives, guys. I am not perfect by any means. There's garbage that I need to get out of my life. And the Holy Spirit is going to be the one that does that in me. But we have to call each other to repentance as well. And we have to do it without regrets. Our repentance has to be without regrets. No looking back, no turning back. That's a Tomlin song, right? Yeah, but okay. Whatever. Tomlin did it at Passion one time, and it was like this big moment, just like all their moments are. But no turning back, no looking back, no regret about our repenting before God. When you truly come before God and say, "I want to give this up," and He does His work in your life, and you do your work in that, it's not a works-based salvation, but again, you have to do your part. You're not looking back at that sin, guys. Again, there's times where you're doing this, but hopefully you're always going up. I did that earlier and just thought it was funny. But you guys don't, and I should shut up and stop telling jokes because we'd be here an extra 10 minutes less. But again, last week, Hebrews 10:24 said we should stir each other up for good works. That verse just really stuck out to me. Sometimes, like I talked about, I can't like focus on everything at one time when you hear a sermon. So sometimes it's good to like take a little nugget, like one little nugget that's like, "God, give me at least one little golden nugget." Not a Hershey Kiss because it would melt in your pocket, but one golden nugget that I can just take away. When I hear your word, when someone teaches me your truth, when someone preaches or proclaims your word, give me one nugget. And my nugget last week was, let us consider how to stir one another for good works. We should be stirring each other to good works, and we should be stirring each other to repentance. When I was in high school, the word accountability partners was like just overly used, like sickeningly used. So I don't think that, do they use that word a lot in y'all's generation, like accountability partners? No. Literally, when I was in high school, it's like accountability partner, accountability partner, accountability partner. So I had this idea ingrained in my mind, but it is so important in y'all's lives. It's so important for you to have brothers and sisters in Christ, brothers if you're guys, sisters if you're girls, in Christ that are pushing you towards good works, that are pushing you towards repentance, that are praying with you about your sin, praying with you about the people that you're sharing the gospel with, praying with you just about your life, just about loving Christ more. We need to be stirring each other for these good works. Screen went off. Perfect timing because I'm done. That one's still on, so I'll just turn it off so that I would... Okay, now the screen's off. But bringing it back in, because I'm an idiot, just walked in front of a speaker with a microphone, but bringing it back in real quick, guys, we're going to be talking about repenting a lot, repentance over the next, I don't know, 8 weeks or so. I'm really sorry that I squealed. That's horrible. Guys, it's an important part in our Christian walk. It's a very important key role in our Christian walk, and I think it's really overlooked because we don't want to come across as legalistic. We don't want to address sin because it gets messy and it gets sticky and it gets just problemsome to talk about sin. But it's something you guys need to do. It's something that I need to do, and it's something that we need to do together through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me pray real quick. Ben, you're coming up, right? I didn't destroy the sound system, did I? Probably did. It's not a big deal. As the band's coming up, I'm going to pray. If you guys, like seriously, if you guys need to just sit and talk to each other, if you need to sit and talk to God, do it. Like, don't just get up because your friend got up. If you need to do some time with God, like, take care of it right now. Don't walk out of here without taking care of what the Holy Spirit is telling you right now. It's important, guys. It really is important, and I pray that that you know how much that we as adult leaders love and care about you. And as we're opening up to you guys, please open up back to us. Please open up to each other, and most importantly, open up to Christ about what's going on in your life. Let me pray real quick. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. I pray that it was clearly presented. God, that your truth would just change our life, God. I'm tired of a Christianity where it's just this club meeting that we show up to, God, that makes us feel good about ourselves, God. I want a real Christianity where we're passionate about lost souls, where we want our Jerusalem to feel and proclaim the gospel. And it's going to start with us, God. We have to be the ones to start that. And it's only going to happen if we can come before you and repent for the things that are going on in our lives, so that you can clear the chaff, get rid of the junk in our lives, so the trees and the branches that are producing fruit in our lives can produce more fruit. We love you, God. Thank you for your son. Amen.